This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Rocks Pile Podcast, part of Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling.
And welcome into the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I'm Noah Yingling, one of the co-experts of Rocks Pile. And as always, I am joined by my friend and fellow co-expert, Kevin Henry. Kevin, how are you?
Noah, doing well. Beautiful day here in Colorado. I think the snow has finally left us, which is not a bad thing.
Which, again, we shouldn't be talking about snow in May, but that's Colorado.
That is. But you were just in Pittsburgh with those Rockies, and it looked like some decent weather, actually.
Yeah. Monday was a little cool because night game. So it got in the low to mid 60s. And then, the windows were open as well. Not to mention, I mean, home plate is, I believe, 780 feet at elevation, and the press box is at mile high. So that didn't help things either.
There you go. Going with your own altitude there for sure. So
yeah,
yep. Now I've been there, done that, and been there when it was snowing. It's definitely an interesting experience.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yikes.
Yep. But we've got to talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to Pittsburgh, and that was the way that series ended. I know you were down in the clubhouse afterwards. Obviously, it was a deflating loss, I would say. The Rockies' offense actually looked really solid early on, but the bullpen simply couldn't hold the lead.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to preface of what I'm going to say here in a minute is that at the end of the game, and if you watch the game or listen to the game or followed or whatever, Carlos Estevez gave up a 3-run homer in the 6th inning, which essentially let all the air out of the balloon. And he was not happy, but it was Thomas Harding of MLB.com, Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post, and I there. And he still spoke with us after the game.
Yeah.
Which... not many players would do that after they've had it. Now, it's not like he was talking to us about his life story and talking to us for half an hour, but he was, hey, I gave it up. You got essentially, he didn't say this, but essentially you guys are doing your job. So come talk to me.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to Estevez is one of the longest tenured members of that bullpen. It's that simple. Yep. He's the veteran out there now. He's really transformed. So I think he gets his place and what it means whenever he blows a game as well. So, you know, and it's interesting because I look at game notes and the Rockies PR staff always does a great job putting stuff together. It's really interesting because he's actually been scoreless in 12 of his last 16 outings and 4 of his last 6. Now, 2 of those obviously included yesterday in Pittsburgh. But one thing I thought was really interesting about Estevez right now, the opponents are slugging 636 against him. That's the 4th highest of any major league reliever. So when Carlos misses, he misses bad. And the opponents are taking advantage of it like they did yesterday.
And that's one of the things with him that he said and Bud Black said as well. Pitch location.
Yep.
And especially if you look on StatCast in particular, in that game, almost all of the fastballs that he threw were, if you were looking at the plate horizontally, they were right down the middle. And if you're looking vertically, they were thigh high or above.
Mm. Yep.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
It back awesome. 30 years ago, if you were throwing 99 miles an hour, you could get away with that. Today's age, you can't.
No. No, and I think it's something that you've got to look at his numbers right now. And, you know, he's throwing hard. But right now, he's only got 7 strikeouts on the season in 13 innings. Yep. And that's definitely not like him in the past. Last year, he was 60 and 61.2 innings. So a little less than 1 per inning. And obviously, that's about cut in half right now. So I think that that's something that when you're talking about pitch location, you're talking about missing. Opponents are also hitting, not slugging, but hitting 327 against him this year. So,
and that's the thing. Another thing with Statcast, look at the expected batting average against him.
Yep.
Fourth percentile. Expected slugging against them, fifth percentile. Strikeout rate, third percentile. Whiff rate, this is a big one. You would think 99 miles an hour that they're going to swing and miss a lot. They haven't. Second percentile.
Yeah.
That's a problem, especially when your fastball velocity is in the 89th percentile. That's the only thing that he's in the top half in right now. That's a problem.
It is. And, you know, and before the podcast, you and I were talking about, there's a lot of talk about, well, should he be on the roster? Does he still have it? All this stuff. And you and I were even debating that a little bit. And I'm of the opinion that he's not going anywhere. And Bud Black is going to keep him, or the Rockies, I should say, are going to keep him on the roster. And Bud Black is going to keep putting him out there. Because, again, if you look at his complete body of work this year, he's still, for the majority, done what he's supposed to do. Now, there have been the extremely bad blowups, which you can point at Daniel Bard and say that. Really, you could look at anybody in that bullpen except for maybe Tyler Kenley right now and say that.
Yeah. I mean, even with Lucas Gilbreth, you look at the ERA, and after, because Estevez came on in relief of Gilbreth, and post-game Bud Black said, we were debating on even bringing him in, Gilbreth, because he had gone out there in, I believe, three of the last four games. Yeah, it was three of the last four, and now four out of the last five. But Ty Block wasn't available. Ty Block wasn't available the day before either.
Huh.
So who's your lefty?
And
that's another problem.
Well, and look back at past Rockies roster constructions. And we've talked about this. Lefties in the bullpen have been a problem for quite some time for this team.
Yeah.
You know, there was a stretch where there was not even one on the roster. So, you know, it's not a huge surprise. At least they've got two right now. But yeah, when they're not available, it definitely flashes back to that righty-only period they had.
Now, honestly, and to your point about when was the last time they had a really good lefty, you could, I would even say a good consistent lefty over multiple years, because like Gilbreth, he was good towards the end of last year.
Wow, if you're going multiple years, you may have to go back a little ways. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean.
Because there was a period of Jake McGee, you know.
For a year.
Yep, there was a period. But if you're talking about sustained, well, that's a tough one, man.
I can name one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Brian Fuentes.
Yep. That's probably about where you got to go, to be honest with you.
That was 15 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
Big problem.
It is a problem. You know, and the stats will tell you it's a problem. You know, the Rockies relievers heading into tonight's ballgame, recording this Thursday afternoon before the Rockies start playing in Washington, D.C. against the Nationals in a four-game series. But heading into tonight's game, the relievers for the Rockies have a 5.09 ERA.
And that, you want to guess what place that is in Major League Baseball? Dead last.
There you go. Yeah. And I wish I could say that was a real surprise. But it's also been something that, and I don't think this is a coincidence, in April, as a whole, okay, starters and relievers, as a whole, the Rockies were 12-9 in April, had a 4.52 ERA. In May, they've gone 8-14, and that ERA has crept up as a whole to 5.16. And again, I don't think that's a coincidence. And you also look at what we saw in the first two games of the series, with the road Rockies, you know, and think back to the start of the year, Noah, this was a team that started 4-1 on the road, and they've now lost two, they've gone 2-11 over their last 13 away from Coors.
Yeah. And we were talking about this before we started recording. In their last 18 games, they're 5-13.
Yep.
Some of those are understandable. You face the Giants twice. You faced the Mets, okay, but you faced the Royals and you lost 2 of 3 at home.
Yep.
You faced the Diamondbacks and you lost 2 of 3. You faced the Pirates and you lost 2 of 3. If you salvage one game there in San Francisco, because remember they got swept, and you win 2 of 3 against the Royals, 2 of 3 against the Pirates, which they very easily should have won two of, they should have swept the Pirates. Really. I mean, you look at the first game there, they lost 2-1. Second game, they won 2-1. And then the third game, if it wasn't for the bullpen. So, in other words, if the offense would have scored more in game one, and they should have in game two as well, and the bullpen doesn't blow it, very easy sweep.
Well,
on the road.
And Noah, remind me of something. How many earned runs did the Rockies score in those first two games?
0.
Yeah.
You want to know how many earned runs they scored in the Sunday game against the Metropolitans there at Coors Field?
Oh, tell me.
I believe it was 0.
Yeah.
That's not a winning recipe, people.
It doesn't do it, you know.
If you score 3 runs in 3 games and all 3 are unearned, you're not going to win all 3 games.
Yeah. And let's talk about 2 things that are, I don't know. You did a great article on Rockspile about the biggest strengths of the Rockies. And I know you're doing one on the biggest weaknesses for the Rockies, at least through the first quarter of the year as well.
Yep, published that one today. Yeah.
There you go. And I know one of those weaknesses, correct me if I'm wrong, was home runs and the lack of power that this team has had this year.
I will correct you and say that is not one of them.
Really? Interesting.
Because there's other bigger weaknesses, unfortunately.
It's a weakness. It just may not be a biggest weakness is what you got. Okay.
The 3 that I had were the bullpen, the defense.
Yeah.
Granted, it's gotten better, but it's like, okay, you get one game of okay to average to slightly above average defense, you're like, wow, this is a great defense. Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically, I looked at defensive runs saved, UZR, which is range, and DEF or DEF. And that essentially it encompasses a few different defensive things. And the Rockies last year were 5th in defensive runs saved, 1st in UZR, and 10th in DEF. This year, they are 23rd, 12th, and 25th.
It makes a difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
So that was one of them. Inconsistent bullpen arms. Block and Lawrence both have ERAs north of 5 now. Chacin, Goudeau, and Estevez all have ERAs north of 6. And Gilbreth, now granted, like I said, he has been better the last few games, especially since he got the first game after he got called back up from Albuquerque, he struggled. Since then, yesterday was the first run he actually allowed. But still, he has an ERA north of 8. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the rotation. You don't have any depth there. You have Feltner. You had a good start from him yesterday, but then the bullpen came in.
Yep.
Germán Márquez looked awful. I mean, let's call it like we see it. And he's looked awful since the All-Star game last year. And he has a 6.14 ERA. The FIP or FIP suggests that he's had some bad luck. But again, 4.59. If that was transferred to an ERA, that's still not great. And that's the worst of his career. The hit rate is the highest of his career. The strikeouts are the lowest in his career. And essentially everything besides the walk rate is the worst of his career right
now. Yeah.
That's not a recipe for making the playoffs or being in playoff contention even.
No. And Germán will make the start shortly here in Washington, D.C. I think it's a real pivotal start, to be honest. At the start of a road 4-game series, I think it's a good way for him to not only get off the schneid, but also to kind of give a little bit of momentum heading into what could be a long weekend in the nation's capital. And Herman's got to show that he is that guy we saw in the first half last year. And like you said, he hasn't this year.
And by the way, on my point earlier with the schedule here in the last 18 games, and Márquez's he's been better, but I mean, it's still not been great. Nope. In the last 18 games of 5-13, if you win one against Kansas City, you get one of the three instead of being swept in San Francisco. You get one with the one more with the Diamondbacks to get two of three. And I'll say needs to be swept. They needed to sweep the Pirates because the Pirates looked awful. But even if you're being generous and say two out of three, that's 500 in that span, 9-9. That means one game over 500. It still means you're tied for last place, but you're over 500. And that could really cost them at the end of the year. And in fact, there were some people saying that the Pirates series was not an important series. Wrong.
Every series for this team is. Every
one. Series. That. And two, okay, you lost two of three to Pittsburgh. To Pittsburgh. What if you lose by... what if you're out of the wild card race by a game?
Sure.
Or two.
Sure.
Or even in July of, okay, at 500, I think we should be buyers, but if we're below 500, maybe we shouldn't be. Oh, we're a game under 500. Could be a very important series.
It could. So we're going to talk a little bit more about some numbers that are standing out to us, as well as what lies ahead for the Rockies. Right after the break. Here on the Rocks File, Rockies Report. And Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling back, your co-experts for RocksPile.com on the Rocks File, Rockies Report. And Noah, you know, before the break, you were talking about the Pittsburgh series being important. And you're absolutely right. Every series for this team is. And I think at the end of the season, we'll look back at that Royals series. We'll look back at the Pittsburgh series. I think we're going to look back, you know,
Giant series there in San Francisco. You can't be swept.
You can't, but they have been. So now there's even more that they have to make up now. And you and I looked ahead to the schedule and it's starting to pick up. And we've talked about that before, but let's remind everybody, after they finish in Washington, they come home for three against Miami. They finally get an off day. And then Atlanta comes in at San Francisco, at San Diego, and
Noah, with a doubleheader in there.
I was just getting ready to say, and you reminded me there was a doubleheader in there. So,
then you have Cleveland, which they're not a great team, but they're around 500.
And then you have
San Diego again.
Well, and the San Diego Father's Day series that we in Colorado love and remember so much.
Yep.
But, you know, that Cleveland series, it's funny. You kind of look at that and you go, well, maybe there's a little break for them in there. I think we thought that about Kansas City, too. So, until this team really starts gelling, I don't think that you can say that. I don't think there's one.
So yeah, I mean, even when you're facing a team like, for example, the Reds, I mean, we all know how they were just atrocious to start the year. I mean, even the last, essentially the time period that the Rockies have been awful, you look at the Reds, they're 10-8. They're 10-8 in their last 18. The Rockies are 5-13.
And you will be playing them in Cincinnati at Great American, where they scored 20 runs today against the Chicago Cubs. Those
Great American.
Exactly. So that's coming. But I think all said and done, no, the Rockies have to – this is the time. You know, you're starting to see that 500 mark slip a little further into the distance. The Rockies have to do well in Washington, and then they have to come home and actually – take care of business against Miami and the defending world champions. And that's a tall order.
Now, especially when I was looking at the Nationals pitching staff, you look and you're like, holy crap. It's like, the team that reminds me most of the Nationals right now, and they have some bigger contracts in there. Granted, they have some injuries too. Team reminds me most of them is the Albuquerque Isotopes. I mean, it's like, there is nothing there.
Now that
absolutely quarter, nothing. They, three of the four starters they have that they're going to be facing in the series have an ERA north of 6.5. Patrick Corbin they're facing tonight, 0-7 with a 6.60.
Yeah, and Corbin just looked like an angry man whenever he pitched to Coors. He just looked unhappy out on the mound on a lot of levels. And he's had a bad season. He's getting paid well, but he's had a bad season. So yeah.
Let's go a little bit further. He's had like a bad 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that was an awful contract. I mean, last year, 9-16, led the NL in losses, and led the majors in losses, actually. 5.82 ERA, 31 starts. Led the majors in runs in earned runs allowed, and led the National League in home runs allowed. Yeah, he's not a good pitcher.
No. So can Herman find his way? And obviously, by the time some of you will hear this, that game will be over with. But I think tonight's an opportunity for the Rockies to start off on the right foot. If the offense shows up and if Herman can start turning the ship a little bit back to the way it was.
Yeah. And I mean, it for the Rockies to be anywhere close to contending, he has to be better.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. If he is this version or the second half version last year of himself, see ya. Done. Rock, yeah. Put a fork in him.
Well, and for the Rockies to be where they are right now in the standings, with what they've had to play, knowing what's ahead with all those Dodgers games coming up, all the Padres games coming up, because remember, they have not faced those dreaded Padres yet. And the Padres are right on the Dodgers' toes in the NL West right now. So there's a lot of things that this team is going to have to ramp up. They haven't played the Braves yet this year. You know, they still got to go to New York. You know, there's a lot of stuff still out there. That I'm not saying they can't do it, but I'm saying the way they've played, they're certainly not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's in essence, if you can't win 2 of 3 against Kansas City or 2 of 3 against the Pirates, how do you expect to win 2 of 3 against the Dodgers or 3 of 4 against the Padres or 4 of 5 against the Padres or at the end of the year, 5 of 6 against the Dodgers? It's like, exactly. It's so difficult that. Really, this stretch has made it that much more difficult for them. Yeah, like you said, could they do it? Absolutely. We saw it in 2007 where they put themselves in a huge hole where, I mean, they were nearly at the bottom of the hole. And then 2 weeks later, they were at the very top. So,
yep,
it could happen. It's just it's going to be a lot more difficult.
So here's a stat that I noticed earlier, and I don't think it'll surprise because we were talking about the weaknesses, and I mentioned the home runs. Here's something, and I don't know if you've seen this. Of the 41 homers hit this year by the Rockies, 30 have been at Coors Field.
That's not surprising.
No. So 11, only 11, have come on the road. And again, this is a team that they're going to need the long ball if they're going to steal a win on the road. And granted, Petco, Oracle, I get all, you know, Dodger Stadium, I get all the pitchers' parks. Trust me, I get that completely. But they haven't played at any of those except for Oracle. So yeah. To not hit them out at PNC, to not hit them out at Globe Life, to not hit them out at, Comerica, you know, it's an issue.
Yeah, and that's why it is a weakness for the team. It's just, and at least in my opinion, it's not one of the biggest three. And I mean, CJ Cron can only do so much.
Yeah.
McMahon has done better recently, especially for, and I actually talked to him about this and we'll have this on the site in here soon of essentially last year, as we've discussed, power early, on base late. Last like 2 weeks or so, he's really gotten to the point where he's been able to balance them. Mm-hmm. And that's why you look right now at slugging percentage on the team, and he is fourth, but he's right behind Connor Joe in slugging percentage. He's at 412, but that OPS plus now is 108, so above league average. That on base percentage though is 351. So he's getting on base a lot, and he's starting to get more of the power as well. So that will be interesting to see if he can keep doing that, and B, if some of the other guys can continue to, I shouldn't say continue, can start hitting for the power.
Yeah.
We mentioned with the strengths, Daza and Iglesias, they've been getting on base a lot.
Especially on the road with Iglesias, absolutely.
Yeah, both of them, those are your two best hitters on the road. And overall, Daza's getting on base at a 404 clip. Iglesias is getting on 366. Connor Joe as well is getting on at 365. So you got three guys there at the top and or bottom of your lineup that are getting on base. But the problem is they aren't driving them in.
No. And here's the other problem. Remember those 41 home runs?
Talking about a lot of problems, aren't we, Kevin?
I know we are. And again, not being negative, but we don't have on the purple tinted sunglasses either here. Let's be honest.
Or the purple pom-poms out.
Nope. 41 home runs they've hit this year. 21 of those have been solo shots.
Yeah.
So when the power comes, often people aren't on base. So, you know, now that may level out as the season goes along. But you're right. Daza has gone very under the radar with what he's done this year. And again, I was one of the biggest guys who said Iglesias was going to be a complete flop. Offensively, he's been above what I expected, for sure.
I expected him to hit for the average, not quite as high as this. But yeah, if you look at slugging for him, he's not hitting for any power.
No.
Defensively, boy, were we right on both.
Oh, yeah.
Both of us were right. Oh, gosh. He's had a few of them where it's like, okay, dude, what are you doing?
Well, and I think that he is a guy, and we'll talk about this in another podcast, but he's certainly a guy that I think could be on the move when the trade deadline comes. I think
it's, especially if the Rockies are playing like they are now. Yeah, yep, he will be. Yep.
If the Rockies become sellers. Yeah, so we're going to do a whole buy or sell podcast. We get a little closer to the trade deadline. Noel, let's talk real quick. One thing that's going to come out of this national series is going to be a look at Josh Bell, a look at Juan Soto, two of easily the biggest offensive threats that there are in the game today. And yet both guys that are rumored that they may not be in Washington the whole year. So I think I don't know about Soto, but I think they will certainly move Bell at some point.
Oh, they should move Bell at least.
Yeah.
And Yadiel Hernandez is another one. He's been hitting really well. Really, and Keibert Ruiz, their catcher, is hitting as well,
yep.
Hitting well too. The rest of them, there's a reason why they're 15 and 30 people. I mean, they're not.
But it's real interesting because, honestly, I looked at how they were hitting and how very top heavy they were. And you look at the Padres right now, it's the exact same way with Machado and Hosmer. And then it drops, man, after that. But the Padres have the pitching, whereas the Nationals do not.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
Pitching wins ball games.
It does.
I wonder now, I don't think the Rockies will do this, but I really would wonder, especially after assuming they get rid of Bell. Does Juan Soto get the Barry Bonds treatment?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, that lineup has nothing in it after.
Yeah, who else are you going to worry about? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, even Yadiel Hernandez, like I said, he's doing well right now. But, I mean, Soto isn't even hitting particularly high of an average. He's hitting 236. But he's walking so much that his on-base percentage is 379.
I think pitchers know what you just said. They can pitch around him. They don't have to give him anything good to hit. Even with Bell in the lineup.
And even though he's got 36 walks, which is double than anyone else on the team, only one has been intentional, which I find very, very surprising.
Yep. Now, I think a lot of pitchers are intentionally walking him.
Yeah, unintentionally, possibly intentionally walking. Yeah,
you know. Well, one thing, by the time that many of you will hear this, the City Connect uniforms for the Rockies will be out. I think that is going to dominate the conversation this weekend. So I'm very curious to hear what the responses are to that. And as a reminder, the Rockies will actually wear the City Connect jerseys for the first time on Saturday, June 4th at home against those Atlanta Braves. And then the next day, Sunday, June 5th, they will wear them again, and they will wear them every Sunday home game for at least the rest of this season. So I'm very curious what the reaction is.
And yeah, depending on, or they could wear them more times too, depending on the starting pitcher, if I'm not
wrong. Absolutely. Yep. If a, let's just say a Kyle Freeland would want to wear the City Connect, absolutely. They would put those on and wear them. Very possible. So I think that's going to dominate the conversation. I'm very curious to see the social media reaction to it. I'm very curious to see, you know, because one of the things that you all have been reading the most on our site is the talk about how the black vests went away. And this is replacing the black vests. Will you all like this as much as the black vests? Or will this be one of those, dear God, bring the black vest back? I'll be very curious.
Insert Frasier gif. Oh, dear God.
Exactly. And we are, make sure you're following us at Rockspile FS. We are currently doing something about which uniform you like the most of all the, I should say of most of the ones that the Rockies are wear now and have worn in the past as well. We'd love to see your vote on Twitter about that at Rockspile FS. So Noah, I know you saw them personally in Pittsburgh, and obviously now you're back home, a good drive over there from Ohio for you. Is there anything, as we wrap up here, anything that stood out to you about watching them in person now versus whenever you saw them in Detroit earlier in the season?
I would have to say that in general, like pregame, very similar. Both clubhouses are kind of loose, which they need to be. There'll be some people who will not be happy that they aren't pissed off and all that, considering they've lost 13 out of their last 18. But you do have to essentially take one day at a time, where next day is a new slate. We need to win this game. And you do that by having a loose clubhouse, not being pissed off at the world. So, and then even post game, I mean, that's one thing. Whatever way you want to criticize the Rockies, there are plenty of ways. Hey, we've just done it for the last half hour here of criticizing different things on them. One thing you cannot criticize on them is A, 99% of the players, 99% of the time, will be able, are willing to talk to the media of, hey, even though I made this mistake, hey, you're just doing your job. Yep. And B, the Rockies PR department.
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah. They all
do a fantastic job. You're exactly right. We're very thankful for everything they do to help us bring you what's going on behind the scenes with the Rockies, for sure. Well, I'm looking forward to, I'll be there at Coors Field all week as the Braves and Marlins come into town. We'll also have Dwayne from our staff in attendance as well. So we will be well covered for the Marlins series as well as the Braves. I'm just trying, I'll be honest, it's a weird way for me to wrap this up, because I feel like there's so much, knowing a series is starting tonight, knowing the City Connect is getting ready to be released, there's a lot of things that I'd love to be able to talk about, but I guess we'll just have to catch that next week whenever we do our episode.
That we will.
And maybe we'll just do one from Coors Field next week as the Marlins wrap up and the Braves come in. So we always appreciate you all listening to this episode of the Rockspile Rockies Report. We have fresh content every day for you at rockspile.com, as well as our sister site, calltothepen.com. So make sure you're checking both those out. Noah and I and our great team of writers always do our best to provide some opinions you may not always agree with, but we'll at least make you think. I promise you that.
And so, also, too, I've got stuff on fansided.com now. So three sites.
That's right. The MLB fansided site. I tell you, the vast fan-sided network. How about that? So
very vast. With I don't know how many sites we got. There's so many, especially if you go out of MLB. Oh my Lord, we got a ton of sites.
Exactly. Well, it'll give you plenty to do this Memorial Day weekend. I hope we remember those who sacrificed for our country. We will pay homage to them this weekend, hopefully every day, for everything they do to keep us free and have kept us free through the years. But for now, signing off for my friend Noah Yingling. This is Kevin Henry. We are RocksPile.com. And as always, go Rockies.